This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of the program. Welcome back. It is Saints game day, week one of the regular season. Saints Bucks coming up at noon, and we are just about 2 hours and 50 minutes away from kickoff. That is our Oakwin Heart Rolex time. And I want to remind everybody that your new home for the point after following the game is Felix's Oyster House and Seafood on the lakefront. So right after the game, you can join Bobby Hebert live out there at Felix's on the lakefront, the new home of the point after. Seth Dunlap and Steve Korn here, and this is your show, the most interactive Saints pregame show anywhere. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, and you can text us at 870-870. Steve, I want to get into a little outlook and predictions this hour of the Saints season. And look, everything's lining up for them. And I know it sounds like I'm pandering and I'm being a homer when in my predictions that I made a couple of days ago on my program, I had the Saints winning the NFC and winning the Super Bowl. But I think this is the deepest team in the National Football
League. There's no doubt about that.
I think they are as talented at every single position group as anybody. And I think the schedule is very favorable for them, especially when you get the Eagles and the Rams at home. I think that is hugely important. So, look, and I'll say it like I said on my program. I have them going 13-3. I have them winning the NFC South. I have them representing, and this wouldn't be sweet, representing the NFC in Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
Well, look, I don't know if they'll be 13-3, and I don't know if all those things will come out, but I certainly believe that they certainly could put themselves in a position to do that. There's no question, and it's not like it's a far-fetched thing to and I understand why you're saying that. Look, I hope things pan out that way. That would be this wonderful panacea. But at the same time, you have to everybody gets sick of saying that, 1 week at a time and all that. But that really is how players and coaches and teams look at where they are and what they're doing, just from the standpoint of, look, there's only one thing you can do about it, and that's the game currently that you're playing and the one that's ahead of you. And with that comes so many different things. It sort of comes with, obviously, the condition of your football team from the standpoint of injuries and whatnot. And it also comes with the fact that, emotionally, how's your team? You know, is everybody, firing on the same cylinders? Is everybody sort of copacetic in the locker room from the standpoint of the chemistry that's in there? And that's the one thing I think a lot of times that teams overlook. Really good teams, if you sort of look into them a little bit, they all have a tendency to sort of like each other. And if they don't really like each other, they respect each other enough to where you don't see a lot of upheaval from the standpoint of little cliques being divided amongst team and certain groups against other certain groups. And, case in point, I think you saw the Seattle Seahawks kind of begin to get into that kind of mode where they felt like they were, the defense was so dominant for so long that they kind of were – felt like they were sort of doing all the work there.
A lot of talk coming out of that locker room.
What happens is I think you get factions of that, and then what happens is there begins to get resent. And then a lot of times it's, us against them and it's defense against offense. And because there's this sort of feelings in there that, somebody's not doing their job or we should have gone this much further because of this, that, and the other.
I'm just wondering, did you bring that up did you see the article 2 days ago?
No, I didn't.
In Sports Illustrated on that? It's interesting you bring it up. Days ago, I think it was Greg Bishop and Robert Klemko, two of the best national NFL writers out there. They profiled that Seahawks defense still anonymously taking shots at the offense and Russell Wilson. And you're right. When you have a divided locker room like that, things fall apart.
It just doesn't work. And what happens is you think that well, the guys, these are pros, and these guys can sort of work through that. And a lot of times, no, you really can't. And a lot of times there's because when things get bad in a season, and they're going to get bad, things are going to get bad for the Saints at some point during this year. There's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some things that it's not going to be going good. And that's when everybody has to sort of begin to fall together and sort of have each other's back. And there can't be, it's got to be support mechanisms there. There can't be a bunch of backbiting and a bunch of fingers being pointed. Even if you don't hear it and you don't see it, it's not like, you know, guys are yelling at each other in the locker room. It's a feeling that goes on. And so everybody has to sort of, you can't be that product of stinking thinking. You have to sort of have everybody on the same page and sort of realize that you're all in this sort of mission together, and it's sort of a mission to of you know, one for all for one.
Well, if the Saints are going to come out of this conference, it's going to take a Herculean effort because the disparity between the AFC and NFC, Steve, it is real. I don't think we've seen a disparity between conferences like this since the mid-90s when you had the Cowboys, the Niners, and the Packers out there. You could make, if you're doing these power rankings, you could make a legitimate argument that six out of the top seven teams are in the NFC. Eagles, Saints, Rams, Vikings, Packers. Do you still throw the Falcons in there? Maybe, maybe not, depending on what happened. We'll get into them in just a little bit here.
You bring up a good point, and Seth, it's you watch it because it's almost like there's times when in the recent past where, man, the AFC looked like they just had so many better teams than the NFC did. There was just a handful of NFC teams that really sort of had it all together and kind of ready to go, and how that has sort of changed now. And I think a lot of times what you see is, you know, for instance, I'll use Seattle again just because that's one that's fresh on my mind. They're a team that you look at, and it's really not the fact that they're not as good as they used to be because of them losing all those defensive players and all those guys either getting older. It has something to do with it. But, yeah, they sort of tore each other apart, you know, in that process. And then I don't think Seattle did a very good job of acquiring talent, or their draft picks have sort of bit them in the butt here in the last couple of years, and they haven't really done a good job of that. So there begins these cycles where, you know, teams have this sort of streak of luck, or I don't want to say luck, but their draft picks come to fruition and everything turns out good for them and the guys stay reasonably healthy, and then you begin to sort of build on this momentum that you certainly sort of get during a time period there. You know, it could be a 2 or 3 4 year period like that. Look, the Saints are definitely in one of those good periods where we're on a big time upswing. I mean, our rookies all turned out terrific last year, and all it did was add to, you know, this already really strong roster that we have. There's no reason in the world why, certainly this team right here, if you look at the NFC wise, the Saints to me are really, it's theirs for the taking.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap, and you can hop on in at area code 504-260-1870. The text line is 870-870. Here's a text from the 337. Avid Saints fan, born and raised in South Louisiana, transplanted to Colorado, listening live this morning. Go Saints and Who Dats. And we will open the phone lines up at the end of the show like we always do for some Who Dat chants from across the country. But right now, let's go to the phone lines and talk to one of our favorites, Tony in Australia. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Seth. Hey, Steve. How are you?
Tony, what's going on?
Well, hopefully the O-line can punch the Buccaneers' defensive line right in the mouth and create, one, keep Drew upright, and two, create the holes for Special K to run through.
Well, look, I think that you'll get your wish today on that. Jason Pierre-Paul, the defensive end that they acquired this last year from the Giants, he is a guy that used to be somebody that was just so formidable in pass rush that you had to worry about him and had to know where he was at all times. He's been, to me, he's sort of a, I don't want to say average, but yeah, I'm going to say pretty average defensive end at this point, where he's not going to create a lot of problems. Gerald McCoy is still a three shade that you have to sort of worry about. And a guy that really sort of that defense is anchored around, but
he's 30 now. Can you believe McCoy's 30?
And he's been, it seems like they've been trying to anchor around him forever and have sort of just struggled on doing that. Never really could get all the pieces together. Really, to me, their strength of their team is their linebackers, you know, with Quan Alexander, an LSU guy, and Levante David, and you know, those two guys are some fast flow characters, and these guys make a lot of hits. And then you got a guy that really, I thought, not only Vernon Hargraves, but in Brent Grimes. I know he's an older guy. I think he's about 35
years old,
as a cornerback in this league, and was really one of the most athletic people I've ever seen in my entire life. and he's still playing. And I guess I don't know what his status is today. I think these guys, a lot of these guys, are nicked at this point. So this is only going to bode well for the Saints offense. And I think there's be no reason in the world why we shouldn't come off the line and obviously dominate that line of scrimmage today. And if we do, look, the Saints should win by 20. I'm just telling you, they're going to say I'm crazy, but I know football teams when I know football teams, and we should beat them by 20
we'll
points.
We'll get our official predictions a little later in the hour. Tony, what time is it down there in Melbourne?
20 past 12.
Oh, late.
Tuesday. Monday morning.
Monday morning already.
You watching it today, Tony?
No. We've got – I have to put up with the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Trees Heads going.
Tony,
I'm sorry.
I'll be on Red Zone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Gotcha.
Well, Tony, appreciate the call again, man.
Drink a bunch of Fosters and just watch Red Zone. You'll be all right.
No, Jim Beam.
Okay.
Even better. Okay,
never
even
mind. Better. Forget that old beer then, huh?
Tony, appreciate the call, man. Tony, who dat fan down under? Melbourne, Australia, always giving us a call. Always appreciate it. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, Steve's going to, you know, we all like chicken here, but he gets a little chicken before
like
these games.
Yeah. Like chicken.
You get a little chicken, you get a little scared about some stuff. So we're going to give you our crispy, crunchy chicken scared moment for Steve Court coming back. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Jump on in with us. This is your show. Area code 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And the text line is open at 870-870. So, Steve, we say it every week. You're scared about something, man. You're always scared about something. So what's making you nervous today? Brought to you by Crispy Crunchy Chicken.
I wouldn't say I'm scared about it. I'd just say that it concerns me. How about that?
All right. Just semi-chicken. Look, you're in a baked chicken, not a fried chicken today.
Yeah, I like all kind of chicken. I like chicken, okay? But, I think two things. First and foremost, if defensively, we got to stop the run. And I know I said it before, but that could make for a long day, for the Saints, especially if the fact that we can't get off the field, defensively. So, if they begin to have some great success running the football, all that's going to do is build confidence into them, and they're going to hang around for a lot longer than they need to. They're not as good as football team as we are, and we need to stuff them on first and second down and make sure see if we can put them in fourth down in long situations and put it on Fitzpatrick, to see if he can obviously make the plays to keep the drives alive. But I like our options if that's the case. But if these guys are getting, 5 and 6 yards a carry, and they're always third and short, there's going to be a problem. That's probably the one thing that I have the most concern about. But again, I mean, these concerns are general, but I can just say that that's first and foremost kind of what the one that I think sticks out the most in my mind.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Fitzpatrick. He's more than capable of beating the Saints. 7 touchdowns,
absolutely,
3 interceptions last year, 86 rating. He's about a 60% passer on his career. Cam Jordan said it. Cam's faced him a few times throughout his career, and he told the media today, hey, this is a guy we're taking seriously.
You can't have a big head. You can't be overly confident when you talk about the NFL. This is 32 teams prized of the best people that they can find for the 53-man roster. And honestly, we don't have that much film on Fitzpatrick in Tampa Bay other than from a little bit last year. But when you talk about what he's capable of, we know that he's always come out hot. I mean, usually, if he can start off a season, he comes out hot the first quarter. And that's all he's got to hold it down for. I mean, if anything, I'm more aware of what he can do. His pocket presence, his ability to fill. If you look back at some of his Buffalo film, he comes out hot.
Yeah, the bearded one the Saints will face today, Steve.
No question about that, but at the same time, what you heard Cam say is exactly right. This quarterback is not just think because he's their backup quarterback at this point or filling in for somebody, doesn't mean that he's not capable of beating us. He's more than capable of beating us, and at the same time, if we go out and sort of, do something crazy, like start turning the ball over or get sloppy with it or don't convert on third down like we should and give them different opportunities, I'm telling you, it can make a long day for us. So I think we need to go out and start quick and sort of get rid of, have them sort of, play them catch up. If they can begin to be in that catch up role to where we put the pressure on them, where we're always ahead of them and keep building a lead on them, That puts undue pressure on a guy like that. And I think that, you know, if you got a guy that's not like a number nine capable of, then I think you got some problems. So that would be the best for us to do. That'd be a good recipe for us to beat them.
Here's a text from the 404. Does Mike Gillisley know the playbook enough to protect Drew? Maybe that's something you're a little chicken about, Steve. That's a legitimate concern.
I don't think Gillisley's going to play. And if he does, it would be on a limited basis, and they'll put him in on plays he knows, because I don't see them giving him a heavy dose of anything. He hasn't been here long enough. It's not fair to him, and it's certainly not fair to the other guys in the offense to put him in there if, in fact, he doesn't got a good grasp on it. And I think he'd probably be the first one to tell you that. So I would be surprised if he gets anything at all.
All right, he's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. 30 more minutes to go here on Fans First Take, and this is your show. Give us a call, 504-260-1870, and we will open it up for Who Dat Chance towards the end of the show. Coming back, we'll go around the NFC South, and the Saints fans out there can relive that sweet final play from the Falcons' loss on Thursday. I love that. Steve Geller, Saints sideline reporter, tells us Saints will be wearing their black tops and gold pants today in the Superdome at noon against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Other breaking news, just a little bit ago, we found out Austin Carr, he will be starting in the slot today, so Cameron Meredith, his health still in question, okay, may not suit up today. We will find out about that a little bit later, but Austin Carr will start in the slot today, Steve.
Well, look, we've seen how good he is, at the Patriots.
Especially as a blocker. It impressed me in the preseason.
That's one of the things that they stress, just like Sean stresses it. That's one of those things that if you come here and prove that you can't, only you can do is catch a football, boy, you better be unbelievable. Because that downfield blocking part of it, especially with the fact that we have such a successful running game now, and all of that is important to that. Because, look, how many times have you seen big runs that, end up being – 30 or 40 yard runs, or some guy even breaking it, where the secondary guys are getting blocked by the wideouts. I mean, almost every single time. And if they don't do a good job by doing that, then very rarely does that break. So that's a huge important factor of being a wide receiver. You got to play that position and all the factions that goes with that.
Taking your calls at 504-260-1870. Let's go to Larry on the phone line. Larry, welcome into the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. What's up?
Steve Court, my hero. Happy Saints Day, baby. Who that? I got a truck full of people. We going to the dome, baby.
Boy, I like hearing that.
Everybody give Steve a who that?
Oh, there we go.
All right. Nice. Sound like
Steve, love you, baby. Saints 33. Them crazy-ass boys from Miami. 13. We gone, baby.
That's, oh, there you go. That's a 21. Like that. You said 20, you
that's
Steve.
That's I think that's a pretty realistic score. I really do. I think they sound well lubricated already.
Yes. Well, you look, as long as Larry, if Larry's driving, then maybe he's not, but everybody else, yeah.
That's all right.
That's fine. Yeah. Hey, we heard Tony drinking Jim Beam at 2:30 a.m. over there. Yeah. A little sip of victory at 2:30 a.m. when the game
buddy,
starts.
The guy of the Who Dat Army down there. Yeah, Who Dat Army in Australia.
Let's go around the NFC South here. We'll start it off with what happened on Thursday. And look, every Saints fan is going
to
be happy.
Watch that.
Oh, yeah. The Eagles, basically a repeat of what happened in the NFC Championship game last year. It came down to the final play, and this is how it ended.
Final play with a second to play. Six in the Philadelphia secondary. Ryan, his arms outstretched. Shotgun snap. An arching spiral in the corner of the end zone. Leaping catch, but out of bounds. Out of bounds. Philadelphia's won. Philadelphia's won. Julio Jones was out of bounds when he left and caught the ball. Eagles have won it. They've held Atlanta.
18-12, the Eagles win. That's courtesy of Westwood One and Kevin Harlan, my favorites. There's nobody better than Kevin Harlan.
Well, let me tell you something. Julio Jones catches that football. I mean, this guy, he's like a cheetah or something. I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
It's pretty absurd.
He really is.
We were talking about, Steve, just a little behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Imagine if Drew had had Julio. We were talking about Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan putting up Andy Dalton-level numbers, really, throughout his career. Imagine if Drew had Julio.
You know, it's going to be a thing, certainly. Julio Jones, I mean, he'd be – that'd be like Jerry Rice numbers. Yeah. They would be. It'd be unbelievable. He'd be untouchable at this point, but – look, Michael Thomas is sort of on his way. There's no question. I mean, I think we got a guy in our number 13 that is he is a superstar. And I think the fact that you see what number 9 does to wideouts is unbelievable, and how productive they become, you know, when you've got somebody like Drew Brees throwing football to you. Because, look, you are in a position to receive a football out there. He's going to throw it around. He's not going to pick out two or three guys. You know, he's going to hit about nine guys a game, you know, with and includes some form or fashion. You know, he's going to get you the football. And you just love watching that. And that keeps defenses so off balance when that happens. And you certainly got to love that and appreciate it.
So the Falcons 0-1. They've got to be careful, Steve, because they've got the Panthers next week and then the Saints in week three. That's possibly 0-3 for the Falcons. And that would be all she wrote for the season. What is it, about 2-3% of NFL teams that start 0-3? That's down the road. I'm just saying. Then they also lost Keanu Neal.
People
are saying, oh, they can still patch it together. No, what I will tell you about Dan Quinn's defenses, and you look back at what happened in Seattle, when they didn't have Cam Chancellor, that big hitting safety, that big physical guy, it wasn't the same. That Atlanta defense will not be the same without Keanu Neal.
Well, and I agree with you in up to a certain point. And I'll tell you why I say that. And it's not because you don't know what you're talking about, because you do. But the fact that the game has changed now, and they've taken out so much of the physicality of these sledgehammer safeties that used to come up there, and you could hear them clear up in the top of the building when they would hit these guys. They can't do that anymore, you know. And because they get fined and thrown out and all kind of different stuff now, they've taken out – sort of that aspect of it and taking out some of that physicality that some of these safeties were. I mean, I can't imagine Steve Atwater would have been thrown out of every single game he ever played in, you know.
That's true, isn't it?
You know, yeah. And Dennis Smith, the other guy, you know, or, you know, some of these really, really hard-hitting safeties.
Ronnie Lott or somebody.
Not even Ronnie Lott. I mean, some of these other guys were even more. I mean, Doug Plank or somebody from the Bears, and all you heard was this – and about half the time is, you know, he was hitting the backside of his defensive players, but it was just this friendly fire coming in that was just, sounded like he was hitting you with a sledgehammer, and it was like, oh my God, you know, who did he kill with that shot, you know? And they've taken so much of that out of there just because of the fact now they have to watch, you know, watch out for everybody's safety and sort of what's going on with, the concussion issues and things like that. So, at least I think they're addressing it.
So around the NFC South, Falcons 0-1. Panthers, an interesting one today. They're favored by 3 at home against the Cowboys. And then, of course, Saints and the Bucks will kick it off today at noon. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Taking your calls at 504-260-1870. Text line at 870-870. Here's a text from the 504. Today is the birth of the no-fly zone defense. Who dat? Well, that birth may happen last year, but I get you. At least we will see it return today in the Superdome. We will take a break. Coming back, it's picks and prediction time. We'll make our prediction for today's game and then a few big games from around the league. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is Fans First Take on WWL. All right, it's that time of the week, that time of the show here, Steve. Well, we see how wrong we can be. So let's make a little...
Speak for yourself.
A little picks, a little predictions here going around the league. We'll finish with the Saints. So some of the big games today that we will see, 49ers and Vikings. This is a litmus test, man, for the 49ers. But I think Minnesota's still too good. This is in Skullchant in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think I've got to give the home team the advantage there, too. Yeah, I think so, too. I think I agree with that.
What about Texans-Patriots? This may be a little spot for the Patriots. They're a little vulnerable.
No,
I'm never picking against the Patriots.
No, I'm just not. They're too machine-like. They've still got Brady upright, and they're still too – they don't make many mistakes.
Yeah, I'm Patriots here also. How about the Giants at home against the Jaguars? If the Giants are back, this will be a chance for them to prove it. But I'm on the record here saying Jacksonville – I think my second favorite out of the NFC, I do think they go on the road. They have a team, by the way, with that defense that can travel and win on the road. I like the Jaguars here.
I like the Jaguars, yeah. I do, too.
All right, how about the Chiefs and the Chargers? These are probably your two favorites in the AFC West. I'm going to go Chargers at home, but Mahomes has been good, man. Mahomes has been really good.
Yeah, I'll go Chiefs on this.
Okay, yeah, Chiefs on the road you got? Yeah. How about the Cowboys at the Panthers? This is like a no-win here for Saints fans. Who do you want to win out of this one?
It better be the Panthers. Yeah. That's the one team I can't stand, the Cowgirls.
I'm saying Panthers here. Let's finish with the Saints. Saints at taking on the Bucks at home. I love the Saints here. Obviously, they're 9.5 in Vegas favorites. I've got them 31-17 today over Tampa
Bay. I'll say 31-10, so you and I are close.
All right, there you go. That's our picks and predictions today around the league. Let's squeeze in a phone call here. Dave, welcome in to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. What's up? Dave, you're on.
You waiting on me?
We're waiting on you. Turn down that radio.
I did.
All right, man.
look, I want to get this off my chest. How hypocritical the NFL is, a.k.a. Goodell, the owners. They talk about player safety, yet we continue to have these Thursday night football games. You got to play 2 games in 5 days. I mean, it's bad enough with the Monday night game. You got to play 2 games in 7 days, but they continue to have these Thursday night games. And I think about how frustrated Breeze was last year after half the team went out with injury in that first Atlanta game. When we lost to them, I heard and saw the frustration in his voice, and you would think that the league would listen to players like him and listen to their concerns about Thursday night.
Well, Dave, you know, look, I'll tell you, they listen to dollar signs probably more than their players. I'm not saying that's right.
You're spot on. I can tell you right now, that's you would think that they would listen more to somebody like a Drew Brees, and they act like they do, and they act like they care. But it's all about the dead presidents. I'm just telling you, they want that money, and they're going to find another way. Whether they increase the games to 18, and they look, it's all about the money. And if you think it's anything else other than that, you're mistaken. So. They talk a good game, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up our show like we do every single week here on Fans First Take. Who dat chance? Saints fans, wherever you are across the city, across the state, across the country, give us a call. Want your name, where you're at, and your best who dat chance. Phone number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Who dat chance coming back on Fans First Take on WWL. All right, wrapping up the program like we always do. Steve, you ready for some who dat chance, man?
I'm always ready.
All right, here we go. Let's see what you got. Tell us your name, where you're from. Give us a chant. Danny Boy, you're up first.
Yo, this is Danny Boy. I'm in Mid-City. Me and my boys are getting together. Look, we're going to pass the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to get touchdowns. Check it out. Home game opener.
All right, Danny Boy. Let's finish it up with Ty. Ty, give us what you got.
Hey, who dat? Who dat? This is Ty out in the pine trees in Natchez, Mississippi. Go Saints. I love South Louisiana.
All right, Ty, there you go.
I like it.
All right, Steve, thanks for the show, man.
My
dat?
Pleasure.
Here we go.
Let's
thanks
go.
To Dave
Let's
Potter.
Go do
it. We'll see you out there, one Saints and Bucks. One countdown.
And we
got to
get
1-0. Who dat?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.